Apostle Paul actually teaches us in this chapter is to step back and analyze situations in our lives and focus on that which is most important. And what is most important stems from an effective relationship with the Lord. I'm not going to spend time rehashing what we've already discussed. However, I do want to bring you up to speed as to where we are. I shared with you on last Sunday as Paul prepares to close the chapter by locking in verses 17 down to 21. Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 down to 21. And it was in these verses that I shared with you that Paul takes the time to give unto us three practical elements, three things that every believer ought to be able to grab hold of to establish an effective relationship with the Lord. The very first one that you should have in your notes is found in verse 17. And it is here that we talked about following after examples. Following after examples. The second one is found in verses 18 and 19. And it is here that Paul shares with us about fleeing from enemies. Then he closes the chapter on verses 20 and 21, talking to us about focusing on expectations. On last Sunday, we took a look at verse 17. We were close to the end of the verse. I simply want you to make sure and certain that you hold on to your notes. Keep in mind now that at the close of verse 17, when Paul focuses on the issue of following examples, it is in verse 17 that I want to simply sort of summarize the statement of what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, in essence, in verse 17, imitate the attitude I have toward Jesus and life. Imitate the attitude I have toward Jesus and life. And don't disconnect the statement. You cannot be effective in your relationship with Jesus without also understanding his impact on life. All right. Everybody with me? This is something that Paul has dealt with before. In other words, Paul is saying to us, keep your eyes on the heavenly goal. One of the problems many Christians face is that we don't know how to focus. We allow where we are to determine where we're going. You can't do that, because sometimes you may be catching pure hell, but where you are is not the issue. It's where you are headed. So Paul wants us to understand the importance of this. Now, Paul himself can make such statements because Paul was a pattern of salvation according to his own writings. Listen to what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Listen to him now. He says, however, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ may show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Let me help us out. Stop trying to avoid long suffering. It comes as a package deal with your relationship with the Lord. See, the more hell you catch and handle it right, the more you'll look like Jesus. It's hard to look like Jesus and you never dealt with long suffering. Everybody with me? Now Paul writes in essence in verse 17 that we are responsible, we are obligated to imitate something successfully. So Paul says, in order to do it, you got to see it. Can I tell you why this generation is in trouble? Because they can't see success in us. Does everybody hear what I'm saying? See, you have to, in order to identify with somebody, you have to see success in others. So in the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul is saying unto them, and he mentioned this earlier in the book, of an example, the idea of who you are. Listen to Paul as he emphasizes this to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Listen to what he says now. Plain and simple. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So you got to be careful now, because your conduct must line up with the word. Stop allowing other people to get you on their level, and then you change, and now you're upset. You're not mad at them. You ought to be mad at yourself. Yeah. Paul says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you may stand what? Stand where? Fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul, in essence, was not only a pattern of salvation, but Paul was a pattern of behavior. See, we got to be careful that what I say has to line up with who I claim to be. Because when my speech is here and my conduct is here, we got a problem. Am I making sense to you? So Paul reduces this idea, this concept, down to its simplest form. Guess what it is? An example. That's what's needed today. People need to see Jesus in somebody else. We love to talk, but there are moments you gotta live it. And it's hard to say the right thing and do the right thing. Why would Paul say such a thing? Well, Paul wants us to understand that this is not about rules. This is not about laws. This is not about regulations. This is not about experience or demonstrations. Paul says this is about a true and honest relationship with the Lord. So I got to ask you a question. How well do you know him? How tight are y'all? How can I say this? Listen to this. This is a concluding statement based on verse 17. Paul's example, his example now, was not a showcase religion, but a laboratory experience. Do I need to go in detail? Let me help you out. When you've been through something, when you dealt with situations that folk thought was going to destroy you, and yet you made it through, that's a laboratory experience. And it's hard to shut up a person who's been through hell and high water and they know their facts. When you know what God can do, when you know without a doubt that if you do right and pray, he'll step in and make a way. When you know that, you got no problems. All right. Now that we know what Paul has said in verse 17, Paul says, The key is following examples. Now let's take a look at what Paul says in verses 18 and 19. Got me? Now we're in a rush, so don't look to swallow all this. We can't do all this at one time. So I'm going to read them so you can see the complete thought that Paul presents. Let's look now at verses 18 and 19. Paul says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." Watch him now. "Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." It is based on 18 and 19 that we're going to move from following examples to fleeing from enemies. Okay? Now you might ask yourself the question right up front, why am I running if you just told me to be an example? Glad you asked that question. Because of what the enemy is after. Am I making sense? What the enemy is after. Now, based on this, we want to dissect 18 first. We want to take the time and pull it apart. The first thing that I want you to notice in verse 18 is how Paul starts it off. Got me? Look carefully at the verse now so you don't walk away saying, "Pastor lied." Paul begins the verse with what I call an explanatory conjunction. Did y'all just hear me? The explanatory conjunction is the word "for." Do you see it in your Bibles? Now, he does this for a reason. In other words, the word "for" drags with it the two examples found in verse 18. Got me? Now let me remind you what those two were. Paul says in 17, "Follow me and follow other Christians." So you got two on the table. You had some in Philippians that were living and walking right. So Paul said, just don't take my example, but take other examples. Are we together? So you got those two issues on the table. The point that Paul is making is that Christians have an obligation. And our obligation is, you better test the Spirit by the Spirit. And every spirit is not right. Don't know if I do no testing now. We just assume, since John Doe got a Bible and it's marked up, John Doe must be holy. We assume that since she got it so decorated, that she got to be extremely holy. But Paul is so adamant about the issue that's on the table. Watch the wording in the text. I told you now, he starts it off with a conjunction. And whenever a verse begins with a conjunction, don't drop it, drag it. Got me? So you got to bring what he said in order to understand what he's getting ready to say. Paul wants the Philippians to understand this is no joke. This is serious business. How can I prove it? Look back at the text. Paul says, for many. That means that the enemy was great in number and was on the loose walking in and out the church. Does everybody see it in your Bibles? What one word did I use? Many. 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 You got to be careful in 2022 whose table you kick your shoes off at and eat. That bothers me. That bothers me greatly because people just want to be loose. Ooh, I just enjoyed that. That was just so good. Well, sometimes you must understand it's not about how well somebody delivers preaching, but it's the substance. I found out good cooking can smell good, but it can also taste bad. Ask my aunt. She meant well. Food would smell excellent, but when you put it in your mouth, the taste didn't line up with the smell. Boy, y'all mighty quiet up in here. The Apostle Paul wants the Philippians to understand this is a matter that's great in number. We are shucking and jiving in 2022 when it comes to the church, the word. None of that is important now. Yeah. What's important is that I come up in here and I shout, I get my groove on, I feel good, and I leave. Yeah. Yeah. And what the Lord is saying, make sure you take the time. You know, I told y'all some years back, the Lord kept whipping me saying, I told you to establish New Horizon to become a teaching church. Because I don't want none of you rascals getting up at the gate telling the Lord, Paul ain't done nothing. Now he told us that Moses divided the Red Sea, but he ain't told us nothing. I don't want that said. So I'm not interested in your shouting and feeling good. I'm interested in you understanding that the enemy is great in number. He comes in all different shapes and sizes. And everybody up in church ain't saved. Oh boy, y'all mighty quiet. Paul explains to us the importance of this, but I want to borrow what John says. John breaks it down in 1 John chapter 4. And I wasn't going to read all of this, but I want you to hear it. Because so often, we just like one little verse and I'm going to read all of what John says. Because I'm not in a hurry. I want it to sink in your spirit. Listen to what John says in 1 John. Chapter 4, begin with verse 1. He says, beloved, do not believe every spirit. I can stop right there and do the benediction. Because we have a tendency to think, because somebody can holler hallelujah, all is well. A jackass can kick. He says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are hot of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Yeah. Honey, didn't he preach? Don't Bitmo know what subject, did what verse the preacher preached? Then don't even know if he took it out of context. Yeah. But honey, he tuned that thing up. It ain't about tuning up nothing. It's about understanding the text. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the whom? Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Stop looking, the booger here. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You got to know that. You got to know it. How many times have I stood up here and said, bring your Bible? Don't take what I say. I want you to follow me along so that when you get home, you can eat on this thing and handle the hell you're going to catch starting sometime after you leave church. They are not of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. It don't take much now to pack a church. All you got, all I got to do is tell you what key to play in. That's it. And then prepare. God will provide all your need to understand is he will step in on time. Now, I need y'all to hear this. After saying that over and over, you ought to know he gonna step in on time. I don't have to close every message that way. But I do need you to understand if he gonna step in on time, you need to be dealing with your time. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. No preacher has to beg the congregation to hear. You ought to want to be still because of the hell you already caught. Am I making sense to anybody? Sometimes you just get tired of the same old mess. But you can't change it, but you can have yourself be changed. Whoa! He who is not of God does not hear us. That's why I tell you, if you got a weak bladder, go to the restroom. But please don't pick when it's time to preach. And I've seen it happen. Sit for a whole hour. Know your bladder ain't right. Go on and empty it so when it's time for the word, you can hum your own song. But it's hard to examine text. Woo! By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Boy, I hope y'all got that. How many folk tested? Stop getting excited now. Please understand, that's exactly what John is trying to teach us. Don't ever go somewhere for worship and don't check what's being served. Some of y'all examine more of your food in a restaurant than you do what is delivered to you in a pulpit. Yeah, you take a fork. You want to make sure ain't no hair and nothing crawling in your food. So why do you come to church and assume because you're up in here, you're going to get served right? That's why I tell you all the time, don't come telling me who need to come up here to preach, because if that menu ain't right, they ain't coming. Boy, y'all, I'll be out y'all's hair. This is just time for us to stop and pause. This shows us, and watch now, look at the text. Go back. Listen to how Paul tells the Philippians he's dealing with this error, this problem, this situation with the enemy. When you look at it, the text says he does so with weeping. In other words, Paul was crying to the Philippians about the situation that they were dealing with. He wasn't just shedding tears. The tears represented something. They represented, first of all, his compassion, his concern. Am I making sense? Do y'all understand this? See, as your pastor, I got to be concerned about you. If I'm not concerned about you, we ain't hooked up. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? I got to make sure you understand that to have an effective relationship, I got to be hooked up with the congregation. So if you think I'm going to allow you to just get by with foolishness, then something wrong with me. Boy, it gets so quiet when I go there. Does everybody, are you getting it? In other words, Don't assume worship is entertainment. All right. You have to understand to come up in here that there are moments the word hurts. The word will beat you down. But I promise you, if you want to be right with God, it'll also turn around and pick you right back up. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Listen to what he says. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Woo! Resist him, steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Listen, church, as a pastor, I have to warn you of things. I don't know, those you all remember, you and those who were with me in the other church I pastored. A young boy going to pop up in the church. And I said, you know, okay. See, I be watching who sit next to who, especially when they strangers, because I said, oh, he must be trying to talk to my sheep. But then a couple of more weeks, he done moved from that one, yeah, Millen, you remember, and went to another one. Then I said, well, maybe that one was his cousin. Because it wasn't long. He had a third one on the table. And the Holy Spirit spoke and said, at the end of service, call it. Boy, y'all. I got all the women together. Told the men, going out. I need to talk to the women up in the house. I said, now listen here. If you allow a pimp. Boy, y'all looking at me strange. See, if you ain't got sense to protect yourself, I do. Yeah. I said, women, listen to me good. He talked to you. He done talked to you. He ain't after none of y'all's heart. Yeah. And they said, oh, I thought he, no, baby. No, no, you were slow on serving. Boy, I'm just, yeah, see, it amazed me. Y'all sit down and look at some of the worst movies, and when boldness comes out of the pulpit, it's that he shouldn't have said that. You look at it every day on TV. The point is that there has to be some warning that the sheep cannot allow wolves to step up in the house. Oh, I'm going to leave y'all alone. See, the issue is a father who does not care if the sheep go astray is not a real father. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? I have to protect you. I want you to bring your pimp up in here. And think I'm scared. I'm not afraid. To call him in and say, look, bro, listen to me good. We got enough hair by ourselves. I don't need you up in here. I'm going to be out y'all's hair. So Paul in verse 18. Look, I ain't going to get no further than this, Sister Paul. I can tell you. I want y'all to listen to what he says. Look back now at your Bibles. And watch what he says. In verse 18, he says, let me tell you first of all about the total attitude of these individuals. He says, they are enemies of the cross. Woo! Do y'all, look in your Bibles. Enemies of the cross. Now, can I plug this in? He didn't say enemies of Jesus. That ain't what your Bible said. Look at your Bible. Your Bible says enemies of the cross of Christ Jesus. Now, why would Paul take the time to emphasize the cross of Jesus Christ. Not just the enemy of the Lord, but of the cross of Jesus Christ. So there are several questions we got to address and play with. We ain't going to deal with all of them today. But I'll jump at one. The question is, who were the enemies of the cross? Write it down in your notes. Who were the enemies of the cross? Now, first of all, I need you to understand that commentators are divided on the question. Do y'all hear me? Commentators are divided on the question regarding who are the enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. So since they are divided, I want to bring to the table both issues. And then we arrive at an answer. All right. Then I'm going to let you go home. Come on. Is that agreement?
Yeah.
All right, then we'll deal with the other stuff. Watch it now. Look back at your text. First thing you must understand is the issue is Paul talking about members of the church, or is he talking about people on the outside of the church? Does I need to say it again? You got two issues on the table. Is he talking about those that are in the church or those that are outside the church? Well, let's deal with it like this. Before we arrive at necessarily who they are, let's look at the impact of what they did. Okay? The impact. Two things I want you to write down in your notes. First of all, the very presence of them caused Paul's heart to break. Did y'all just hear me? Paul's heart was heavy. Got me? Second thing we know is that they endangered the progress of the gospel. They blocked the effects of the gospel. So I'm going to answer the question like this. I does not care whether they were on the inside or the outside. What it does tell me is that everybody on the inside is not always saved. Back in the day, I heard you going back, Brother Shelley, this morning. Back in the day, sheep could come to church and pick up on something worthwhile. Because the church was the breeding ground for good sheep. Well, not so today. In fact, the church has become the pipping ground for that which is fake and phony. A man can holler hallelujah, girl, you better get him. And where you fail to realize is what good is a hallelujah when it's not coming from the right source? It's only coming from his lips, not his heart. Ooh, boy, y'all got quiet up in here. Ooh, let me let y'all go home. Does everybody understand? Does everybody see it? So whether you're on the outside or the inside, that's irrelevant. What's most important, Marcus, is that we understand it's the end result that counts. Right. Oh, Lordy, Lordy, Lordy. So Paul in the text identifies them as enemies of the cross. In other words, they stood in the way, just like folk today. Some folks, they don't go to church to enjoy the word. They go so they can get something and then talk about it.
Yeah.
I pastored places where deacons got mad and threw up their finger and headed out and stayed out and then come back in late.
Yeah.
Right. And back in the day, I had a finger I could have used.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, y'all getting quiet. But God had already moved on my heart, and I had control of that old nature.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, I know how to mess with y'all. Paul in the text wants us to understand enemies of the cross of Christ. So start next Sunday, I got to talk about, well, since we know who they are, what did they do? Because see, everything that look holy ain't holy. Do I need that? Kevin, I don't know. Here it is, mother, then. We're talking about enemies of the cross. But see, what I didn't want to do, I didn't want to have to go both to the cemetery and the pew. So I figured I just deal with that which is neutral. All of us got to handle enemies of the cross. Some of y'all run with folk that don't have nothing to do with church. You better watch yourself. Watch. Put a pin in there, Sister Paul. You know the next one coming up. Just put a pin in there. You can just play softly. Just put a pin in there. Put a pin in there. Okay? I started to just tell y'all I had pushed this series to the side and went on, but Holy Spirit said, you know you ain't no holiday preacher. Never have been. I just never have. I don't dishonor mothers. But the thing for me is, it's the word that counts. Be careful now. Woo! How many of y'all know without a doubt that you know him? And you got him in your life? Whew. I mean, you know you got him. Yes, it is. Awesome feeling. And you don't really know the real need to have him until you find yourself in an awkward situation. It's one thing to be acquainted with him, but it's another thing to know that you know that you know that you know him. Have you ever been in the car by yourself? And your favorite song came on, and the light caught you, and you found yourself just humming. Just you and him. And not long, tears start rolling down your face. And you forgot all about the fact you were in the street driving a car. And you threw up your hand and said, God, I just want to tell you. Doors of church open. Oh, yeah. Ooh, girl, you are you playing what I think you're playing? Huh? That's what I thought you were playing. Ooh. Do you know that? Okay. Ooh. Phew. Woo! as a candidate for baptism, Christian experience, or by letter. Won't you come?
Has come over me.
How many of y'all been changed?